This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio, coming in with the big Mike Jones Band doing the theme. Phone number here, 866-570-PEN, 7366. That's penradio at gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, that's penradio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, at gmail.com, penradio.com. We're here on a on an overcast day in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to you all. Now, this is only for people in Vegas, which is not our strongest listenership. We have a lot in D.C., New York, Chicago, of course. But if anybody cares, at the United Blood Services, which is on Charleston down there. Teller and I will be there at about 2 o'clock today, big press conference, and I will be giving blood. I'll be giving blood because it's the Penn & Teller's 13 Bloody Days of Christmas, where anybody who gives blood gets a couple tickets to the big Penn & Teller show in the new big Penn & Teller theater. I was rehearsing yesterday. Rehearsing is perhaps too glamorous a word.
You were looking at the new X's.
Looking at the new X's. I was standing on the new X's while Teller looked at me. That's what we do. And there's one scene I do eating fire with Georgie in the show where I'm lying on a couch. So for about 15 minutes of the rehearsal, I was just lying on a couch because all they were doing was checking lights. So, you know, when I go out and do the show and they put the mics on me because sound is checking and the lights are on full and the stage is beautiful. Got a whole new floor. We've chopped off about 8 feet off the front of the stage, just hacked it off because the way we were set up, it was a little bit of a thrust on the stage. So we were out. If we went to the front of the stage, people on the sides were kind of looking behind us. So we pulled that all off. So now we cut off some of the stage so we're closer to the audience. And with the Penn & Teller show, we're doing is trying to see safety. You know, we were kind of going, we like Penn being really close to the audience, but if he hits Teller's concrete head with a sledgehammer at this distance, we could hit the people in the front row with a big chunk of concrete. So let's move it upstage another 3 inches. You know, that's the kind of safety we're doing there at the
one of those goldfish jumps out of the
we're trying to do all that, trying to figure out where the guns go and how we, you know, because we're always Penn and Teller are always right on the edge of government regulations. But now there's a new theater because we go in tomorrow night, and because the holiday season to Penn and Teller means greed, we're taking no days off all the way through. But we do not do a show New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Can I ask on the design of the theater?
Sure.
Did Prince have anything to do with it? Do with the design?
No 3121.
No 3121.
But people know much more about the Rio now because of Prince. It's great. People ask a lot of questions.
I like the big
Prince.
Prince symbol on the side of
I think they should change Rio. They should change the Rio to the casino formerly known as the Rio. I'd be very proud to work there. You know, I rushed over that night and saw Prince, and he was great. It's great to have Prince there, and it makes Rio a hipper hotel.
And like his restaurant too.
Sure, 3121.
Yeah.
Have you eaten there yet?
Yeah. Very good. Very, very. It's his chef thing, but it's very good.
It says jazz cuisine, which I thought meant cold French fries and a ham sandwich eaten in the kitchen. But I guess he doesn't mean what jazz musicians eat, what jazz fans eat.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll come out and play sometimes in the little jazz. You see that little jazz stage in the restaurant?
Does he play there?
Yeah, he's come out every once in a while and play down there.
Wow. The Rio's a happening place. I'm glad to be there. And people, Teller and I went out. We were working on stuff beforehand and writing some new bits. We're putting a lot of new stuff in for 2007. But this afternoon, you'll be able to see. I think I'm going to give blood. So if you want to see me fill a bag with red, come on by. Give blood yourself. Sit next to me. Give some blood. I'll give you a couple free tickets to the show. What can I do more than that? What can I do more than that? Huh? If you come down while I'm there, I believe you can get a cookie. We'll throw a cookie in.
If you say the correct password, then you can give something else.
Something. Yeah, that's good. Good thinking on your feet.
Sorry.
I want to talk about... the Miss USA contestant dethroned. Miss Nevada, I'm very, very angry at. Katie Reese, I'm very angry. Everybody knows about this. Everybody's talked about it. You can call in 866-570-PEN 7366. Katie Reese was Miss Nevada, running to be Miss USA. And they dethroned her because of some pictures. First, she said they were taken when she was 17. Now she's saying 19. Pictures of her making out with a couple other women. Pictures of her feeling up couple other women, doing fake Clinton on a guy in a club, like on her knees with her face against the denim. And denim, I stress.
I think you could say denim.
Yeah, denim. And you know, her friends, oh, her friends are just really pieces. They look great.
Mm-hmm.
Her friends flashing their breasts and so on.
There's nothing more than a girl's gone wild.
Well, it's actually much less than a exactly, Girls Gone Wild video. And what makes me angry about her, very angry, is that she did nothing whatsoever wrong, and then she apologized. And I think if you did nothing wrong, and I can't believe anyone in Knock It On 2007 is going to come out and say that kissing another human being is wrong. We are now able to kiss other adult human beings of either sex. I think this is a big anti-gay thing. It's not even gay, you know.
No, because there are guys at this party, too.
She's obviously going through her bug phase. You know the bug phase?
No.
Bisexual until graduation.
Okay.
She's going through that phase. And I think that's wonderful. And I think it's anti, to say that two women kissing is anti-Miss USA. Now, it's a private organization. They're welcome to throw out anybody they want. I got to get my libertarian point of view in there. But her calling it a lapse in judgment, they can throw out anybody they want. But once they've thrown people out, once Miss USA has said that they think that kissing another woman is wrong, what the American public needs to do is we need to stop watching Miss USA. Stop watching Miss Universe. Stop watching all the beauty pageants. Stop it immediately. And I've been at the forefront of this movement because I haven't watched any of them since I was like 8 years old when watching with my mom. So I was already protesting before it even happened. You know, remember Vanessa Williams?
Yeah.
You know, Vanessa Williams did that nude photo thing.
It was the best thing she could have ever done.
But she also hung tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm trying to find this quote, and I guess I'm not going to be able to, but she has Reese.
I've got the computer here. I can do it.
Katie Reese put up on her website a quote from Bob Marley, you know, "Don't judge me, lest you be judged." It's
today,
a Norm's column, yeah. And I'm mad at that, too. I think she did nothing wrong. I think that for human beings at a party to simulate Clinton sex, to pull their tops down in front of friends, to show their ass, to kiss each other is terrific and wonderful and moral. And I'm not being the least bit facetious. I really believe that's okay. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you haven't got letters on your phone. 866-570-PEN, 7366. What the hell did Miss USA do wrong? That's
but
what I want to know.
If you look at these pictures on TMZ.com, there is nothing different from any party that I ever went to in the 80s.
Any good party.
Exactly. I mean, you know, any 17, 18, 19-year-old, you know, parties that I've been to when I was that age, or any of the parties you've had within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but you remember, there's also, and I have to point this out, I'm anti-alcohol, never had a drink in my life. It looks like they might be drinking there.
They got a beer in their hand. It is, you know, from a keg or something.
Yeah, and I'm totally, a beer in there. Okay.
But, yeah, the cup, it looked like there was a draft beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it could
plastic
be a
cup.
Could be apple juice with a little whipped cream on top.
Doubtful.
But
the whipped cream would be nice.
Apple juice with whipped cream. That's my idea of what a beer would be. But I never even had. Lou Reed once offered me a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Because he's clean and sober, and he offered me a non-alcoholic beer, and just the smell of it, I didn't like. I'm just not a
hops guy.
I'm just not a guy. I'm not a guy at all. You know, I don't watch sports. You know, when I'm doing the Identity Show, you know, sports guys show up, except for Bruce Jenner, which of course everybody recognizes, but other sports guys show up, and I just no idea who they are at all. And today I was doing a lot of interviews on other radio shows this morning. And,
I'm sorry.
I know, sorry. How you doing, Pat? Good to see you.
That's right, Pat.
Yeah, that's right,
you're
Pat.
You're pretty tall, aren't you?
That show's pretty successful now, isn't it? Got good ratings. You're winning all the time, so that's good to hear. Good to hear. Hey, how did a guy like you get into game shows? I was doing all those shows, and
well, I'll tell you what, before you answer that, we'll be back right after. What is that? Your eye.
We'll be back after this. Yeah,
then,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And hold on. But they're all talking about, I hear them when they come in and going out, they're all talking about this Miss USA, and she should know this is a serious thing. And this woman on here, and I don't even know who she is, but maybe somebody does. There's a newscaster that was Miss Nevada. What's your name? Jenny Valdez, or Valdez, Valdez probably, 27, who was Miss Nevada USA 2002. She quotes, "I'm actually kind of happy someone lost their title in this whole situation," Valdez says, contrasting the discipline meted out to Reese with the Miss Universe organization's decision to allow Connor to keep her title. If I was, it's were, Jenny, if I was first runner-up and found out the person who beat me was doing underage drinking, I would be appalled. Valdez said she would have been disappointed if the pageant's organizers didn't strip Reese of her title over the provocative photos. Reese knew what she was getting into, like we all do. You can't do that stuff, Valdez says. Valdez, now a news anchor woman for Laughlin's KLBC TV Channel 2, said the world of pageants is fairly closely knit, but she hasn't met this new breed.
So she was Miss Nevada 2002, and now she's doing news in Laughlin.
Laughlin, yeah, Laughlin has news, doesn't it?
Barely.
I've never heard anything come from there, but there might be news in Laughlin. There might be news. All I know is that, you know, all the guys I know in magic, you have to do like a certain amount of time in Laughlin.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like doing jail. Yeah, it's like you do 2 years in Laughlin. But I've never played there. I will. You know, that's an important thing to point out, that you know, entertainers do not retire at their prime. They always fade out kind of pitifully, you know. They start at the top, and then slowly they go down to lounges, smaller and smaller hotels, until it's really pathetic. And I want to make it very clear that Penn and Teller intend to do that. We intend to go out with really no dignity whatsoever. I want to be 95 years old playing a lounge with everything going on in the background and no one paying any attention, five people watching. That's what I want, you know. One of the most beautiful moments ever spent with Teller was we went to see, and I'm not going to say the name of the act because it might be implied as an insult, but we were seeing an act that had done Sullivan a lot, was very popular in the 60s and 70s, and they were playing a lounge at the hotel we were playing at. Uh-huh. In the big room, and they asked us to come down. We went down to the lounge. We're sitting there, and there's people milling around, people drinking, and they're doing their act, and they're doing like same old tired bits from, you know, 40 years, 30 years before. And Teller and I are sitting there, and I turned to Teller and said, "You know, that could be us in a few years." And Teller said, "I am so okay with that. I am so okay with that because you know it's show business, and when Teller and I were cheap carny jive." You know, playing 50 shows a day, eating fire, traveling around in our Dawson station wagon and doing these horrible gigs, you know, Spinal Tap and Puppet Show, exactly that, except we were the Puppet Show, you know. Going around doing that was terrific. I loved every moment of it. I loved doing shows, and I really loved doing shows even for a small audience. So when you see, just anybody listening now, if like 30 years from now you see us playing someplace that you consider to be pathetic and you consider that, you know, where we've lost it, we're not really making it anymore, and you come to see us, please, you can laugh at us all you want, make fun of us all you want, but do not feel sorry for us. I guarantee we're happy as clams.
People would know then that the dementia has set in.
Sure, yeah. It'd be fine.
There's no problem with that. That'd be okay.
No problem at all.
Can I still get a comp to that, though?
Of course.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good.
I will even give you a drink coupon. You can sit there and
I went
and
used the drink coupon the other day, and I think it is for another.
It was for another hotel. Yeah. Let's talk to Max. What's up, Max?
Hey, Penn. This is Max, a big time fan.
Thanks a lot, man. What's up?
I'm just calling to say that I'm a 19-year-old underage drinker,
uh-huh.
And the fact that Jenny woman said she would be appalled to be the runner-up to an ethical underage drinker, I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everyone knows this age rule for drinking is absolutely preposterous. So there's nothing wrong with that woman drinking.
It certainly seems like 18 is a fine age. When did you start drinking?
Over the summer, actually.
Okay, so you wait until you're over 18.
Right. 18 is a very ripe age for drinking.
What happens if you're caught drinking underage, Jack?
Well,
you would know this.
I guess it really depends. I mean, if you're smart about it and you're not driving and you just kind of stay, if you don't go into bars with fake IDs, then nothing really happens. You just have to play it safe, that's all.
No, I was on, this was years ago, I was on Devon Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there. We had, I think, a six-pack or a 12-pack in the trunk of the car. And we were just drinking it outside right on the corner there.
Yeah.
Not driving, not anything. Did they put us in jail?
How did you get there if you weren't driving? Were you going to stay at the corner all night?
I was at a friend's house actually down the block.
Okay.
So the car was parked there.
Okay, nobody was going to be driving at
all. No. You have to park on the street. And, uh-huh. and we're just staying there. And the cop caught us drinking, took us in, put us in jail for, 4 hours?
Really?
5 hours till I came up with a $200 bail.
Did it scare you at all?
Yeah. Big time.
And what did they try? Did they try you for underage drinking?
No, it was underage possession, something like that. I didn't tell my dad.
You didn't?
No.
You came up with the $200.
Came up with that. Went to court. Had some slimy lawyer say, if you want to sign your bail over to us, I'm sure we can get you off.
Oh, really?
So signed the $200 over to the slimy lawyer, and lawyer goes up, talks to the judge, and, okay, don't do it again for 6 months. Get out of here.
Did you have to show up in front of him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did ditch school. I had to do a Ferris Bueller thing. Because we went to a Cub game after that.
Oh, yeah, so it was a perfect day. During that time, what would have been the punishment if they'd found you guilty or whatever?
Probably.
Oh, they did find you guilty.
Yeah, right? Guilty, but just let it go. I guess it could have been, a misdemeanor with 30 days in jail.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Wow. So be careful, Max. Really, be careful.
All right, everyone. Ben, I just wanted to say that you and George Carlin are my biggest gurus.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you. Well, George Carlin did some drinking, so you can use him as a role model, not me. Because, I have to ask people stuff about drinking. I know nothing at all about it. Well, thanks a lot, Max. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
But there must be a huge...
But I agree with Max that it should be changed to 18.
Sure. I lived when it was different across state lines. So the kids in my... I think it was 21 in Massachusetts and like 18 in New Hampshire or Vermont or something.
The same when I was a kid.
So the kids would be driving drunk across the border. But I just don't know if that's really, once again, the libertarian nut comes out, if that's the right thing for the government to be doing.
866-570-PEN. If they should put the drinking age to 18, because you'd have less problems, but, would you have more drunken kids then?
Well, you're going to have, traffic accidents are going to be always highest in kids 18 to 21.
Because they're the stupidest.
They're the stupidest because they're immortal. You're immortal till the time you're about 24, 25, And in my class, a lot of kids had bad traffic accidents, You're much better off having a kid drinking at home or at a bar than driving even sober. Although, I also didn't drive that crazy when I was a kid.
You were too good of a kid.
I didn't do any of that stuff. And then I turned out like this. I did not drive crazy. Few crazy incidents.
You were just a smartass.
I was a very, very, very bad smartass. Got a lot of trouble for that. But we're talking about, I'm against, I got to look at her name again. I have to memorize it, I guess. Katie Reese. Katie Reese should not have apologized at all. I am all for her flashing her breasts. I also want to talk about other things that I hate about the Miss Universe, Miss USA beauty pageant thing. Talk about that later. 866-570-PEN, 7366. This is Penn Jillette with Happy Jack on the Free FM, CBS Radio. Yeah, this is Ben Jillette. We're back with Happy Jack. Happy Jack's last day. Godot's back on Monday. Godot will be back for a while.
He was supposed to be here today.
He was said he was going to be here today, but he chose to do, to show you how much fun Godot has doing this show, he chose to have a root canal instead of doing this show.
And then next week, all these guests that are going to be on, he's not going to have a chance to talk about it.
He won't say a word. So if you want to really hear Godot talk, you have to listen into the new year, 2007.
And then you're going to tell the blow dryer story.
On January 3rd, I've promised I'll tell the blow dryer story, and I will. That's already scheduled for January 3rd. I've told
everybody in New York, make sure you get extra staff for that day.
the blow dryer story. I told once on the radio. I told it on Steve Dahl's show years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think Steve Dahl has played on the best of many, many times. If you want to hear a story of how, because a lot of people listen to the Penn Jillette show and say, how stupid is Penn? Well, the blow dryer story is a story of the pinnacle of stupidity. And I'll tell you, there'll be a lot of, A lot of crossing of your legs when you hear the blow dryer story. But
so you're going to tell it on the third, and then Steve Dahl will replay it right after this show. Yeah.
So Steve Dahl's going to scoop us of my own story. But I'll tell it. I will tell it more full out than I've ever told before. I'll give you details that you might or might not want to hear. What I'm most interested in, you know, is Patrick loves anything that's male genital related. Patrick likes to really overreact.
Yes.
It's very histrionic. Oh, no. Oh, gee. You know, you say something like, oh, and I scratch. And you go, scratch. Oh, no. Oh, it's horrible. Oh, I can't even hear that. You know, and it's just, so Patrick likes to overreact to those things. I don't think
we should leave the door open. The control room door opened that day.
No, I'm not going to have Patrick screw up my blow dryer story. He will stay in there and do whatever he wants. But I'm not bothered by those things. I can get kicked right in the nuts, and I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Not very much. I'm not.
The bee sting story was enough.
Oh, if the bee sting story bugged you, well, the blow dryer story will make you just insane. Yeah, I didn't intend that, but it's true.
It was good.
But the blow dryer story really does bug you.
I'm not looking forward to it.
And I still think about it often. It was an unpleasant thing. But that's why I didn't give the name for the story of the topiary in the backyard was the same woman that the blow dryer story is about, and that's why I didn't give her name, because I don't want to embarrass her. And yes. Also, yeah. You know how that is. You don't want to embarrass me. Let's talk to Ted.
Nothing. I'll talk about why he couldn't.
Nothing at all. Although I didn't have enough money then to send her to Hawaii. What's up, Ted?
How you doing, Ben?
Doing very well, thank you. What are you talking about?
I heard you talking about, you know, people sort of the end of their careers playing smaller gigs or whatever.
Yeah.
It reminded me, I was down in Ocean City, Maryland, and we saw a big sign, Bill Haley's Comets, you know, playing tonight.
Sure.
So my wife and I go in there and, you know, grab a beer, go into the lounge area. And there's only one guy sitting there in the entire crowd. They were starting their first set.
Uh-huh.
And so we have beer, you know, relax, and nobody else comes in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and Bill Haley's gone, so they have this, you know, older sort of lounge lizard, wedding singer type guy doing the vocals.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't leave because then there would be nobody there.
Right, sure.
And so we're trapped, and it's like, well, maybe we'll leave after this beer. It's like, well, we'll feel bad because there won't be nobody there. So we're kind of stuck for like two or three beers where we could actually get up and wait for them to finish their set and get out of there.
But I had some friends who just saw the Comets, you know, Bill Haley's Comets, and they said they were terrific. The bass player was like 80 years old and really laying it down. They said they were great. Were they not good?
The singer was just, you know, he was almost a Adam Sandler-type wedding singer.
Right, we're not talking about the singer, though. We're talking about the actual Comets, the guy's playing. I heard the bass player was a monster.
Yeah, the actual Comets did a good job, but the singer was so bad, you know, you couldn't focus on anything but him.
Well, you know, that's what some of these bands do. You know, Chuck Berry, when he plays, he doesn't bring any band with him at all. You just bring a bass player, drummer, another guitar player, and he just tells them what to do on stage.
Jeez,
that's probably... Man. Exactly. That's probably what they were doing. But I just want to say it was Matt Stanek, who's the light guy over at Penn & Teller at the Rio. And Matt has really good taste in music. I think it was Matt, or it might have been Nate, who went out and said they saw the Comets and said it was like some rockabilly festival. So it would have been a rockabilly festival here in town. There's a lot of them here in Vegas.
Sure.
They do like three times a year to a big rockabilly, and also hellbilly and shockbilly and all that stuff. At that convention, they had the Comets, and they said they tore it up. But, of course, when they're playing Vegas at a convention, they're going to be having a stronger lead singer, and that probably make them a better band. Where'd you see them? Like Harrisburg, you said?
No, it's in Ocean City, Maryland.
Same thing. So,
exactly.
But I'm glad you stayed, man. I'm glad you stayed. I hope you think back on it fondly, because I'm sure they love playing, because that bass player is a monster. Thanks a lot, Ted. Thanks, Ted. You know, it's funny that of all the bands that he would mention to go to see like that, it'd be a band that our crew had just seen I guess it was just a few weeks ago. They played here in Vegas. Did you go to the rockabilly thing at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I've gone to some of them. I'd like to go to more. I've just been a little busy.
Yeah, it's over at the Gold Coast. They have all the cars and stuff, and these people live out, you know, the rock. And Bob Dylan on his radio show talked about how rockabilly now, when rockabilly first hit, the rockabilly performers were listening to all sorts of music, you know? Mm-hmm. They were listening to Coltrane. They were listening to what was called at the time race music. They were listening to hillbilly. They were listening to, you know, all that stuff. And then now the rockabilly people only listen to only rockabilly. And that keeps it from growing as fast as it could. But I just love seeing all the people with the big hair, you know, combed up on the top. And the women are just, rockabilly women have got to be the sexiest women in the world with those skirts and then the tattoos all over their arms, and they're just, that combination is so tough and so feminine, it just kills me, destroys me.
It kind of goes along with Texas women.
Hmm?
Yeah, yeah. Rockabilly and Dallas women.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same.
Texas.
Big hair, tattoos, there you go.
It's just a look that kills me. And, of course, I go in there, and my hair is, you know, past my shoulders.
Well, you got the tattoos, the big hair, the, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
I could be a rockabilly woman. But, and they make fun of me, you know. Hey, get a haircut, long hair. What are you doing? He goes, part of the whole rockabilly thing. Now, do you? We're coming up, you know. It's whatever it is. It's Monday, isn't it? Christmas.
Christmas is Monday. Yeah, 25th. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you do any celebration of that?
And, you know, I go to my family's in L.A. I'm going to my girlfriend's, and we're going to hang out there and then go to my brother's house, and we'll just hang out for a little bit. And then I got to come back here Monday night anyways, because I have to do I'm doing a morning show on Tuesday.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's a time for family to get together.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Hang out.
It was great, because when I was doing all those interviews this morning, all the DJs would say, well, you know, Pat, have yourself a merry, happy holiday.
Did they do that this morning?
They did, yeah.
I mean, were they held off?
I don't know. I don't know if they were held off
to me.
If somebody
says merry Christmas to you, I don't think it's, you should believe in Christ. I think it's, you know, hey, you know, here's the holiday.
Well, what gets me mad is talking about the war on Christmas, which there is certainly not a war on Christmas.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with...
The Oregon thing. Boy, if I were in the other room, I'd be yelling at you for doing too many topics here. But, you know,
we're doing a lot of topics.
It's okay.
A lot of topics.
You're talking about the Oregon airport thing?
No, I mean, yeah, that, but also a lot of the right-wing hardcore Christians are saying there's a war on Christmas by saying happy holidays, and it has to be, you know,
war on Christianity. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Christianity, yeah. And stuff. And I just think that as an atheist, as a hardcore atheist, people saying Merry Christmas does not bother me at all. As long as they go, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I can go, there is no God, Happy New Year, we get along fine. It's the marketplace of ideas. Have a good, there's no God. God, you're wasting your life. Happy shopping.
But it's not like there's no difference in these 2 weeks than any other 2 weeks of the year. You know, this is a time of the year that people do whatever they, Hanukkah or
Jerry
Seinfeld would do Festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know about Festivus until last night. I was looking on the web.
Really? Okay.
Because I wasn't a big Seinfeld fan.
Yes.
But, you know, we could get back to the subject of the Miss USA. Do you want to get back to that? Are you happy going
sure,
with the whole
I don't know.
Festivus?
We'll go wherever we want this show. I don't care.
This is free-form radio.
Drew Hayes is going to call me and yell at me.
Is he?
But I don't care.
You don't care at all?
No, what do I
care? You know, one of the things about the pictures of Miss USA and stuff, and also it ties in with the Michael Richards thing, you know, is now that we have, everybody has a phone and everybody has video and photo capabilities on their phone, we are going to see everything popping up. What is it? TMZ is the website?
Yeah.
TMZ is going to have every single celebrity doing something.
What's wrong? I mean, Britney getting out of a car.
Well, there's nothing better than that. you just said something wrong with that?
It, you know, scar and everything.
I love that so much. I just love all the upskirt stuff, all that stuff. I just dig it so much. I think it's great. And the whole thing about how they're role models and this and that, they're all people. And if they're...
They're not role models.
No, they're not.
That drives me nuts. They're not.
No.
She's a Louisiana girl. You know, I mean, if Gudeau were here, he'd smack me. But, you know... You can take the girl out of Louisiana, but you can't take Louisiana out of the girl.
Well, you know, I don't know. I just think that they're just doing exactly what they're supposed to be. Remember once I was talking to Axl Rose had just not shown up for a gig. He was like passed
that's
out.
That's a surprise.
He was passed out in a hot tub or something. There was all this sort of news about trashing him about this. And I happened to be talking to Lou Reed, who said, he's a rock star. that's exactly what he's supposed mm-hmm. to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they expect him to show up on time? He's a rock star. He is doing his job perfectly. I think that Paris Hilton, of course, we don't know what her job is, but Paris Hilton and Brittany.
I just don't personally like Paris Hilton. I don't see anything.
And you've met her, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't see anything attractive in her whatsoever.
Well, the sex tape certainly wasn't. The sex tape looked like there was a basic Clinton sex act she wasn't even good at.
Well, and the phone rang in the middle of that, mm-hmm. and the best line out of that was, blank your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, she did that later, but it wasn't got on tape. That's the problem. She did that. They didn't have the video running for that. But okay, we'll be back. This is Penn Jillette. I don't know what the hell we're talking about, but you can join in. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We'll be back after this on CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette. We're back on Big Free FM, CBS Radio. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I'm still not done with this Miss USA, Miss Nevada being dethroned.
You're really into that.
Well, I'm upset about it because one of the things that troubles me is when people make their whole living on sex and then draw the line. Like, you know that there are people pleasuring themselves watching the Miss USA thing. You know that in the swimsuit competition, they are selling sex.
Yeah.
They pretend they're talking about, you know, how well-spoken they are and talent. They're just selling sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they're selling T and A, and they're selling it like crazy. And then as soon as those women admit that that's what they're selling, like Vanessa Williams, all of a sudden that's a line we draw, and that's a horrible thing. Had this event happen. You know Alex Bennett.
Sure.
Everybody in radio knows Alex Bennett. One of Howard Stern's heroes, you know, Alex Bennett, who did the great John Lennon interview. Also, I was listening to a Bob Dylan interview, and of course, he was involved. Alex Bennett in the late 60s, early 70s, was New York radio, then, of course, in San Francisco, and now he's on one of our satellite brothers and doing some lefty show, I guess. And I saw him when I was in New York and thinking a lot about Alex Bennett, and he got this horrible gig, this just despicably horrible gig down in Florida. He was doing a Miami station that he just hated. And he called me up and asked me if I would come down and co-host with him for a week on the radio. So I was doing a four-hour morning show for 5 days in Miami. Maybe it was Miami or someplace else. Maybe it was like Lauderdale or something with Alex. So one day we had on, there was the happiest place on earth was down there, which was R Donuts. You know R Donuts, the topless donut shop?
Yes.
Greatest place for someone who loves breasts the way I do, which is just unbounded, and also loves donuts the way I do. I'm 300 pounds. And also likes decaffeinated coffee and likes, you know, daytime bright stuff. You know, strip clubs are nice because they have the breasts exposed, but they're dark. They're often smoky. And there's booze all over the place. So I don't really like them. This was a donut shop. It used to be a Burger King. And they put, you know, black over all the windows. It was like a $5 cover. And you'd go in, you get a big-ass cup of coffee for a buck, big-ass donut for a buck, all served to you by topless women. And there were pictures of astronauts all over the wall. Because they'd ask for, you know, autographed pictures. So it was Lauderdale, I guess. And it was just so great. You know, you go in there and talk to them. And the guy that owned it was like this guy in his 80s who made all his money in real estate. And then when he retired, he set up this place. He took really good care of the women. He gave them retirement funds. He put money aside for them. Just a great, wonderful guy. And he said to me that his kids said, you got to stop this R Donuts, you know, because it's embarrassing us. He just said to them, do you know how much you kids embarrassed me during your lives? I embarrass you a little bit. That's fine. And he was running it at a loss. You couldn't make money. You know, he's paying the women very well. And, you know, I said, so you learned to cook donuts? And he looked at me like I was insane. We went in the back, and there were just boxes and boxes of Dunkin' Donuts. The women were just opening the boxes and bringing them out. with a markup. And it was just, I mean, no place I could be happier. And I went with my good friend, Leslie Jennison. We're sitting there, and I was just getting to know her and her husband, Tim. And we're sitting down there, and we're looking at the breasts, and they're serving us coffee. And I didn't know. I knew she was a nurse. I knew what she did. And she said what she did was breast exams. So it was really a busman's holiday for Leslie, looking at breasts. We had a great time. So when we were doing the Alex Bennett Show, we invited them in. We invited the topless donut women to come in and serve us donuts on the show. Mm-hmm. So we had topless women on the show, and Alex Bennett always had a live audience. He had about 25 people. He'd cram into the studio. He had a live audience. We had the topless women in, and it was fabulous. And the next day, Hooters. You know Hooters? There's the casino here, too. Yeah. But they sell the wings and stuff.
Yeah.
And their whole living is based on breasts,
yeah.
Right? Hooters. Hooters is the word for breasts. And the who goes right over the breasts and the eyes.
Two O's. And, yeah.
Totally selling that.
Of course.
And the next day, the women came in to bring us hot wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she starts. It was just, I mean, I've been hating Hooters for this, and I'm wrong, because if anybody here in Vegas from Hooters is listening, I apologize. You can win me over easily.
I love you more, so it's okay.
Okay, but the problem was this one particular woman who was a spokesman and a waitress, server at Hooters just in Lauderdale, turned me off to the whole corporation, because she came in and said, "We're here with our chicken wings, but we aren't topless like those whores yesterday."
Oh.
And she said, "I can't imagine how anyone would do that. How anyone would be tight." And I got so angry. And I said, "What are you selling?" And she said, "Well, we don't sell sex at all. We're just selling hot wings." And then Alex started this thing where she said, he said, "Now, if they stopped, if they said they were going to be topless, but they tripled your pay, would you go topless at Hooters?" "No, I would never do that."
Mm-hmm.
"What if I offered you $100,000? "No, I would never do that." And then she turned to me. Remember, there's an audience of about 25 people. She turned to me and said, "If someone offered you $1 million, would you take off all your clothes?" Well, didn't take much. I stood up,
a free donut there.
I stood up at the Alex Bennett Show, and I stripped completely butt-ass naked. And I stood up on the control table desk naked, standing there going, "Okay, give me $1 million or at least give me a chicken wing." And she was, of course, mortified. Now, this is what I'm talking about. If I was going to be Miss USA, there's a picture of me butt-ass naked with a chicken wing in my hand with Alex Bennett. I also took my pants off in Larry King, but that's another whole story. And I'm standing there, and the audience is, like, going crazy, and we broke for commercial, you know. And then I found out, and I've mentioned this lesson before on the air, but I want to just underline it, underscore it. If you're ever going to, this goes to any future Miss Nevada, if you're ever going to take off all your clothes in public, do not throw them. Do not throw your clothes. I took off my shirt, my jeans, my shoes, and I threw them all over the place, which meant I was naked and I had no clothes anywhere near me. So the commercial break comes, and Alex says, "You know, it's time to get dressed, Penn." And my dear friend Rich Nathanson, his mother and father had retired to Florida, and they went to the Alex Bennett Show to see their son's good friend, Penn. So this couple, elderly couple, very sweet, New York, very Jewish. I'm now in my full Gentile nudeness, walking out towards Rich Nathanson's mother.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, "Mrs. Nathanson, do you know where my underwear went?" You know, and it was under the chair. So there I am bending over, crawling on the floor to get my underwear from her. And then a year later, Rich Nathanson's mom and dad came to see the Penn and Teller Show. And that was the show where we stripped, both Teller and I, stripped completely naked and produced, did a magic act where we, you know, nothing up our sleeves. As a matter of fact, we're naked. And we stripped behind this this little translucent sheet. We brought two people up from the audience to examine. And Teller had never met Mrs. Nathanson, so we brought Mrs. Nathanson up. Nice little Jewish lady when we're playing Florida. So I get a phone call the next day, and it was Rich Nathanson going, "Penn, seriously, Will you ever meet my mother and keep your pants on? Why do you want to be naked in front of my mom? Why do you have that complete urge? But all this brought around, that Hooters woman brought out, I had such a hate on for her. You know, I really did not dig her one bit. She got me angrier than anybody else because, you know, people tend to do this with women, you know. If you're a topless dancer, you look down on the nude dancers. If you're a nude dancer, you look down on the call girls. If you're a call girl, you look down on the streetwalkers. It's time to just say that all people are okay. And it's fine to be nude. Take your clothes off. Have pictures snapped of you. Have them go up on the web. And just tell the Miss America, Miss USA, all those people to just drop dead.
And what's funny is Miss Nevada, out of all people... Las Vegas, of everywhere in the country, Las Vegas is the place where in Summerlin, which is sort of the Beverly Hills of Las Vegas or something like, you know, that's the place where you're going to have a millionaire, a cocktail waitress, a stripper, and a valet parker all living on the same block.
Sure,
and three celebrities
thing.
And two lawyers.
And the other thing I love is whenever they take something where the sex, and this is what's happening with this USA thing, Miss USA, where the sex is implicit and make it explicit. Like, I loved it when there were all those aerobics tapes. Remember there were those aerobics tapes? And a lot of people watch the aerobics tapes and do aerobics, but a lot of people watch them because it was hot women bouncing
Jane
around.
Jane Fonda and spandex.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. And what I loved was when they came out with, you know, the topless workout tapes. Remember those?
But
the softcore porn people put on the top. What I loved about that, besides the fact that it was bouncing breasts, which, I love, what I loved about that even more was the fact that it was taking what was implicit and making it explicit. You know, you watch Miss USA. Do you even know the difference between any of these? Miss Universe, Miss America?
At one point they, you know, play a musical instrument. At another point they save the world. And then at one point they wear bathing suits.
And then Steve Allen did a thing called Unofficial Miss Las Vegas Showgirl Pageant, which was on in the 70s. And they lampooned this stuff in a beautiful way. It was Las Vegas Showgirls, and they had different talents. And one of the talents was one of the women had taught their goldfish to run away from a pencil. And another one of the talents was a woman who turned her light off and on in beat with the music. She had a little chain on a lamp. And I just thought it was a great show and really lampooned this stuff. And I think it's wonderful. All this, all my soul searching going through all this, I think it's wonderful that they threw her out as Miss Nevada. But let's just make sure, please, all of us, none of us watch that stuff. None of us buy anything from the sponsors. None of us watch that Laughlin Channel 2 news. Let them all just go away and let good, happy sluts rule the world.
And never live in Trump Towers.
Never live in Trump Towers. Well, of course, you know, the Trump and the Rosie thing, you know, that's a battle that I want to see fought with real knives. You know,
that would be cool.
I want them to really go at each other. I mean, Rosie's always been really, really nice to me. She's always terrific, and I like her. And Donald Trump, you know, he's been behind a lot of the shows I've been on. He's a great guy. Everything's cool. But when they're fighting about, you know, what they... I mean, I don't know why Rosie had that comment. I don't know why he's coming back. I guess it's just showbiz.
It could be an even match.
An even match.
Whoever wins it gets to fight Barbara Walters.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I guess we got a lot of calls here.
We
haven't got time to take any of the calls. I just want to say to all of you, no matter what you do this time of year to celebrate, or if you don't celebrate, if you say Merry Christmas, if you say Happy Holidays, whatever you say, just have a really, really good time. It doesn't matter. And if you see me on the street, you know that I'm an atheist. You know that I'm not a Christmas guy. You know we don't have Santa in my house. You can still feel free to say Merry Christmas. I understand enough about human beings to know that it's where your heart is that matters, and that just let's do this really American and mix everything up. Just slop it all up. And I don't even give presents. Do you give presents? How many presents you got?
I did family, I will.
I get something for my sister.
Can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
What's going to happen when the sleigh lands on the roof? Are you going to take your shotgun out and shoot the old man?
I will not shoot Santa Claus, no. Tell him, move along, old man. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. We've got our coal. It's in the stockings. Happy Christmas. Merry New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. This is Penn Jillette, Free FM, CBS Radio. We'll be back with a lot of guests next week, and you'll hear Goudeau doing some talking come the new year. And remember the blow dryer story, January 3rd. In full detail.